But the vast bulk of the population doesn't want that and gravitates toward the West.
Now, you mentioned that one of the steps is to create a peace agreement long term, which, you know, include Russia. You know, my understanding is when the Soviet Union, you know, broke up, at least around that point, that was, I believe, something that Gorbachev had proposed, that Europe actually, or Russia actually become somewhat attached to NATO, so there was more of a common security agreement, especially given, you know, the whole negative situation with the invasion. You know, is there a way that, you know, Russia and Europe can somehow agree to, you know, to some type of common defense agreement?
Well, I think there is.
Allô, c'est Vieux Farcature, vous écoutez WGXC Accra 90.7 FM.
Hey, I'm Spike Priggin, host of the Bedazzled Radio Hour. Broadcast every week from 12:10 until 2 p.m. Wednesday afternoon, live from Spike's Record Rack, 400 Main Street in the village of Catskill. Every Wednesday, I play pop, rock, soul, country, blues, reggae, and other obscurities, and once in a while, a hit or two. Please check out the Bedazzled Radio Hour with Spike Priggin on WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra, every Wednesday from 12:10 until 2.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Ruby's Hotel and Restaurant in Freehold, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Recording in progress.
Hello and good evening. You are listening to Race Talks with your host, me, Kimberly Y. Irwin. It's such a pleasure to be here during this month, March, which is the recognition for National Women's Month. It's the history of women that we are looking forward to sharing with you today. I say we, but currently on the mic is just me, your host. We do have two guests that we are expecting to come on. And of course, I might have an assistant or two share a recitation like we did last month. It was such the greatest feedback that we thought we'd do it again if we had time, because we have some music prepared. There's a interesting Shakespearean sonnet that might be shared. We also have, as I normally discuss, topics. The topic today is race and beauty. And I think that's apropos because we are women, and the people on air today, when they come on, we are women, and we love looking our best, right? And so thinking about this month's topic, I thought that would be something wonderful to talk about, beauty. That's part of my phrasing that I say, love, beauty, and joy. So that's one of the three things that I'm looking forward to espousing more on. I think I would like to share with you all how wonderful it is to have the opportunity to work on WGXC, a Wave Farm enterprise here. And to do so, we really count on you, the listeners, the audience. And in order for us to continue to do this, to have a voice shared, to get people from all walks of life, from all areas of the country, sometimes the globe, on air, we do need to raise funds. And we love to get funding at any time with our nonprofit organization here. However, it's really the best to know that we have friends, family, listeners out there who are supporting us every month. And that would be considered a sustaining supporter. So I'm going to share with you ways you can become a sustaining supporter. So get your pens out and ready, and make sure you do not forget to write this down and where you put it, or just stick it in your cell phone. So, because you know, we're never going to be remembering numbers anymore. So to access the opportunity to provide, to help us provide station input. Okay, so I'm going to just get my list here so I can make sure I give you the correct numbers. The pledge drive number, it's 518-697-7400. I will be repeating these things at the end of the show also. So again, stick it in your phone, 518-697-7400. And of course, for those of you who, like me, prefer to do things online in the metaverse, we also accept donations via online at wgxc.org/donate, D-O-N-A-T-E. Again, that's wgxc.org/donate, D-O-N-A-T-E. Now, listeners, there are some of you out there who prefer snail mail. I know it is true. So get ready to type in this. I'll be as low as possible. And for those of you who are saying, is this really Race Talks? It is. And I'm the host of Race Talks, Kimberly Y. Irwin. I'm still waiting for my guests to arrive. It's like they are trying, but we are still seeing some difficulties. So while I'm giving you the mailing address, I'm also going to see if they are able to access the station. So the mailing address is WGXC-FM, care of Wave Farm. Those are two words, Wave Farm. P.O. Box 13, Accra, A-C-R-A, New York, 12405. And again, I'll be sharing that information again at the end of our broadcast, or right before the end of our broadcast. So please be ready if you haven't had the opportunity to get your cell phone and pens and papers ready to do so, so that you can get this incredible information so that you can share and be part of Radio for Open Ears. We are not able to go on air and to give you this type of information without the support of our listeners. And so after 10 years of radio, I think we are showing that we are deserving of your sustaining support. And literally, that can be as low as $5. I'm actually a sustaining supporter. I'm not going to tell you how much I support the radio station with, but do know every little bit counts. Okay, so I am going to now check to see if my guests actually arrived in. I am not seeing them. Oh, this is going to be very interesting. So I will play a tune right now to provide time for them to get on. This is something I thought to share at the end of our show, because usually we're talking so much we get cut off, and I don't want that to happen. So I'm going to play a song. It is called Unpretty. So of course, the topic of today's show, for those who've just coming on, it's race and beauty. So why am I sharing with you a tune with the lyric title Unpretty by TLC, by the way? It's for you to understand, to prepare for the conversation that my guest and I will have, or as may be the case. Oh, I see one is getting admitted. Awesome. So I might not go straight to the music. Let's say, you know, I can change up as quickly as anyone can. So as she's connecting, getting her audio on, let me introduce her, right? So that we can be a little bit more like a stealth bomber. Hello, Miss Liz St. John. Can you hear me? I am not hearing her. So we're going to fix her mic and ask her to get her information going. And so let's see, maybe, okay, I'll play the video, the audio now. Stay tuned and we'll discuss on the other side of this some of the lyrics that is in this show, in this musical presentation. Okay, I'm hitting the button. And voila.
The tie you up in my shoes, make you feel unpretty too. I was told I was beautiful, but what does that mean to you? Look into the mirror, who's inside there? The one with the long hair. Same old me again today.
Okay. I like when she laughs there. That is really one of the best parts of the song. It's like what she seems like she knows that, you know, beauty is not what you buy or what you, well, obviously she knows that, not what you buy, not what you look like, but really how well you think of yourself and the best person you are. So I'm going to actually bring on one of my guests who's here. Let me make sure I can speak to her. Miss Liz St. John, are you?
Yes. Hello, Miss Kimberly. How are you? Can you hear
me?
There
you are. Wonderful. So I think we're going to just act like we're in the living room now because I'm all like torn up. I'm like, oh, where are my guests? You are present. And I'm sure the other person will be on. So let me get to actually introducing you. Oh, of course, you know. Hello. I think we have another guest. Yay. Yay, we're all here. So I'm just gonna ask you all, but I'm gonna ask you to mute yourselves so I can properly introduce you, my guest who made it. Okay. So today for our talk, which as you can tell from the song that I just played, it's going to talk about beauty, race and beauty. And my guest joining me today is Miss Elizabeth St. John Hall, who is a native New Yorker. And Elizabeth began her career over 27 years ago in as an esthetician, model, and makeup artist. Elizabeth, she's had a successful career and endeavors as other entities, sales manager, banker, business owner, educator, as well as a skilled esthetician. So I know I'm going to ask you more about all of that, and specifically the esthetician part, because even that word, you know, it's not something you hear often, but I know that my audience and listeners absolutely know what you do, because many of us go to a person of your caliber. But I want to make sure we all understand about Miss St. John Hall, because it's not that she just does what she does, but she does it holistically. She takes that approach to incorporate treatments, nutrition, and a healthy lifestyle to prevent and eliminate quote unquote beauty concerns. Many of those concerns that we just heard about in the music number. Elizabeth's passion for education and modern skincare practices is what makes her private practice and classroom a mind, body, and spirit experience. And I like that because it's not just dealing, again, with just what you look like on the outside, but really how you feel about who you are, as well as what you look like on the outside, which is more important. And I'm just going to end by telling you that if you are so lucky to be under her spell in her facility, which I have had the opportunity to be, thank you very much, you will know that she specializes in a vast array of offerings that represent both conventional and traditional treatment styles. Elizabeth, she's no novice when it comes to knowing the skin of many, if not all, ethnicities, and she will share her understanding, her take of different ethnic skin types and how we can all do our best with taking care of our skin. And as a licensed skin professional, it is her goal to provide each person, regardless of their heritage, with the absolute best service and treatment. And you can tell that's true by her motto, love the skin you're in. Hello, Miss Elizabeth, how are you? Can I call you Liz on air?
I'm sorry, I was muted. Yes, please call me Liz. Absolutely. Thank you so much. That was such an awesome introduction. I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. So I'd like to, I'm going to do something a little bit differently because of how we started. Right now, I'm going to then also introduce my other guests. And then I think we could I can bring some of the topics of the talk and our terms and we can just blend them and have more of a conversation because, hey, we're all women and we all know what we're talking about here ourselves. So, and to the male listeners, yes, you'll get some input. If you want to, you can definitely not text me, but message me from the social media sites where I have if you need some information too. So I'm going to go and talk about Balqis Alcantara. She is a local. If you're in this area of Columbia and Greene counties, she is a Warren Street business owner who has come to Hudson via the Bronx over 2 decades ago, where she began her employment as a hairstylist in a salon. So from being a salon hairstylist in her home country of the Dominican Republic, she has brought to us her ability to work on all types of hair and to help with hair care and actually also facial protections also. And she has worked on me, so I know that of what I speak. In fact, with the help of those in the industry and Miss Alcantara's determination to be on her own, this is what forward her with becoming a salon owner. And her clientele, because she did come from the Bronx, is of people from all over the world she's used to working with in Hudson. A seat in Balqis salon chair avails the client to a mix of Latin America also. She is a Spanish speaker, and so this is one place in the small environment of Hudson, population of less than 8,000 people, where Spanish is spoken. So she is definitely one to make people comfortable with disregarding their first language. So definitely a place where a lot of ethnic and international flair is happening. I say it's a place where color and culture unite and where beauty is put on full display. There's actually a saying or a statement that was made about stylists. So I'm going to read that now because to me, this is Balqis and her salon, which is called Jair's Beauty Salon. And again, that's on Warren Street in Hudson. The statement is, as stylists, we're ground shakers and day makers, setting trends while fostering that inner connection between a person's inner and outer self. And that's why Ms. Alcantara, and I don't know, can I call you Balqis here on air, is on our show today to very much allow for the listeners to have an understanding of the intercultural mix and mingle that happens in her salon. And it's not just her salon. Of course, it happens in barber shops all over the world where people come in and they mix it up with their knowledge of what's going on in the world. And of course, when you're in a hair salon, women like to talk about being beautiful because that's what we're there for. So that's what we're going to talk about on the show today. So first, I want to get both of your input on the music that we just heard, the idea of how people come into your space wanting to feel, because not just what's on the outside, but wanting to look and feel, more importantly, beautiful. So in answering that, please share more about yourself and why it's such a pleasure for you to be on the show. Anyone can take it, either Liz or Balqis. I think we need to check your mic. Can you speak, Liz? Okay, I think we're having a little bit of a problem.
Hello?
Oh, okay, great. Balqis, yes, I can. Would you like to go first then? Were you able to hear the music? Because I know you were offline.
I didn't hear the music. I came in a little after the music was done. So I couldn't hear the music.
Well, I don't know. Are you familiar with TLC at all? Who sings the song I'm Pretty? It was about a couple, at least a couple, a decade ago, I would imagine.
Was it TLC?
They sing a song called Unpretty. And some of the lyrics, I'm not singing, but some of the lyrics is that they buy hair. You know, you can buy hair if your hair won't grow. You can buy all the makeup that MAC, which is a company, you know, that you can buy in major department stores. And you can fix your nose if you want, but those things aren't really the issue. The real issue is about yourself and trying to make sure that other people don't effectively make you feel unpretty. So what do you say to that?
Can you guys hear me? I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt. I just got my audio back. Can you hear me?
Yes, we do.
Okay, great. Please. I just want to make sure. Thank you.
Yeah. I cannot see you, Kim.
You don't have to see me. We can hear you.
Okay. Okay. I think you have to be yourself how you feel comfortable with. Is if you feel like you feel pretty with your hair done or putting some hair in or wearing your own hair. It's how you present yourself, how secure you feel when you're out or when you are in the mirror. You know what I mean? So it's a choice that anybody can make when you decide to buy hair, to put it in your hair, or if you want to just have your own hair, natural, the way you like it. You don't have to wear no fake hair to feel beautiful. It's all depends how you want to present yourself, how you look at yourself. That's how I see it.
And in your becoming a stylist, hairstylist, did you feel like that's something that you wanted to do, be in an industry where you could be helping people feel beautiful about themselves?
Yes. If you come to my shop and you say that you have short hair and you would like to have your hair longer and how you want it, and that's how you think you want it, feel beautiful, that you wanted something different, yes, I help you to look like that. Yes, I do. But it's all depends. To me, it's how you wanted to present yourself. Because you don't have long hair don't mean you're not beautiful.
Well, and that's one of the things that are that's happening in the industry I've been reading, where people, I mean, you're really well-versed in helping people have long hair, but now there's I wouldn't say a backlash, but there's some kind of return to Black women going natural, right? That's the term. So can you explain what natural is and how supportive is the industry of the natural hair?
Well, going natural means that you're not putting any chemicals to your hair. Like you're not putting relaxer on all those chemicals in your hair. You wear your hair like the way you born. You know what I mean? That means
God intended.
You don't have a relaxer, you don't have anything on it. That's when you say, I want to go natural. The only thing when you go natural to me, you want to present your hair the way it is. You know what I mean? Well, some people go natural, they don't do anything, and they cover that hair underneath with something else.
Now, in your salon, of course, you would, like you said, help people become beautiful in an area that they would like. You find that people are looking to be other than themselves or to promote themselves outwardly? So are they getting these changes because they're feeling negative or unpretty, as the song says? Or do you think it's, like you say, something different, a change, just another look?
Yes, I feel this. And well, some of them said that they decide to go natural because if they have a relaxer, it can make your hair damage. So they don't want to get your hair damaged. And sometimes they just they want their hair to regrow again, to be, you know, start from the chemicals and make your hair more stronger, because the relaxer and make your hair a little more weaker. You know what I mean? So, and it's a lot of beautiful styles you can get with your natural hair if they decide not to go with a relaxer.
Now, one last thing. I teach sometimes in the school district, and I saw a young girl with the most beautiful hair, and I couldn't tell if it was twisted. It definitely wasn't braided, but I couldn't tell if it was twisted or somehow curled. So my question is to you, is there any rules about how you should take care of young children's hair? I mean, because, you know, this is National History of Women that we're talking about. And historically, I'm sure there's traditions where you don't mess with children's hair beyond a certain time period. And definitely in certain communities, certain cultures, ethnic groups, there's even more rules about that. Do you have any best practices or tips for how you can take care of your young daughter's hair?
I haven't have a, they are, personally, I will not mess with a young kid's hair. I just do, to me, I will like for when I have my daughter, I didn't do anything until she was like 10 years old to her hair. I just wash it and put it in ponytails, a lot of ponytails, you know, with barrettes and stuff like that. Because when you mess with young kids' hair in such an early age, by the time they reach 15, the hair is not, it gets damaged. Like, I see that they braid their hair. By the time they are 15, her scalp is look light because braid doing too much to the hair and do it so tight, it made the hair break off. Some of the hair comes out and never grow back. So I'm not trying. I don't try to tell anybody how to do their kids' hair. But when you do too many manipulation on the scalp, such a young age, it's going to affect her hair growing up later age, you know?
Yeah, you know, I think I've seen that where, you know, the hair from the forehead, it kind of recedes a little bit because, yeah. So you're talking not just about relaxers and chemicals, you're talking about even keeping it natural with box braiding and, braiding the hair or corn rolling, right? All of that kind of stuff.
Any of those styles, when you do it too often and too tight, it affects you, your hair growth. You know, when it grows, it don't grow as strong as it's supposed to, because people do too much manipulation on the scalp. And that's why the hair gets thin and thin and thinner. By the time you reach 20, you don't gonna have the strong hair that you're supposed to have, yes, when you were a child. Mm-hmm.
So basically you would say, keep your fro, keep your afro.
No. When you're young girl, you have a young girl, you can comb the hair, you can put it like in ponytails, but don't do it too tight. You can braid it, but don't braid it too tight, because when you do it too tight, it's when your scalp get the manipulation of the scalp is get I don't even know how to.
It dries it out and makes it hard for your hair to grow.
Because it breaks, and then a lot of your follicles it comes out. So when your hair grow again, it's not grow strong the way it's supposed to. And when it's white, your hair stop growing stronger. It's always weak. So you keep braiding it and braiding it, but your hair don't see it's getting better. It's even getting worse after a while.
Okay, so I think what I'm hearing for real is natural doesn't have to mean not styled, right? You can still have beautiful hairstyle with your natural hair. And we're specifically talking about African American women at this moment, but we could be pretty much talking about anyone when it comes to braiding hair tight, because
yes,
there was that movie with 10 with Bo Derek way back when. She had these braids in her hair coming out of the water and all, you know. So it doesn't really matter what your hair texture and type is. It just means take good care of it. Okay, yes. I will go with that. So we have Liz on, and I wanted to ask you if you have anything that you might want to add to what I said about you, and because I know you were going to go into that, sharing maybe more details about your practice or how you got to your practice, whatever you'd like to share, and maybe any thoughts about the song Unpretty, that TLC song.
Well, yes. Yes to all of that. Can you hear me okay?
Wonderfully.
Okay, great. Okay, so that's us having difficulty. So first of all, thank you for having me. Absolutely. Three points. One, what we just heard in reference to hair and natural hair and the styling of the hair and the tight styles and the tight braiding styles, no matter what we're doing to the hair, as well as the video that a TLC video that you referenced to, Unpretty. Hair, skin, nails, mind, body, spirit, it's all connected, which is what that holistic feel or holistic approach to care, self-care, your skin, your hair is your crown, if you will. Your hair represents more than just a covering or a fashion statement. It does all of those things, but it also represents the crown in which we wear it. So your hair and your skin and your entire being, wellness, it's all intertwined together. So plastic surgery, or I should say enhancements, or, you know, right now in this day and age, we have so many young African-American women, as well as Caucasians, all women, period, having more of these, you know, elective surgeries, the booty, Brazilian booty lifts and chest implants and weave. And I mean, everything, you eyelashes, you know, you can pretty much enhance everything about your body. But if you naturally feed the body minerals and plant-based, you know, products and proper water intake and proper rest and proper, you know, state of mind, you naturally have a glow to your skin. Your hair naturally has a glisten to it. Your nails normally have that shine. So it goes back to that holistic being, which is where we're really not that rite of passage that most of us had as, you know, young. You had your grandmother or your big mom, you know, just here passing on. Here's how we, you know, naturally take care of, you know. Here's how the witch doctor in the village or the shaman took care of all of us by using herbs, and we have recipes that are, you know, passed down from generation to generation, which leads back to your video about being unpretty. It's about an education and self awareness that if I don't eat, you know, Chick-fil-A or McDonald's and Burger King and drink Red Bulls, but drink alkaline water, eat more plant-based, eat more clean, you know, eat more fruits and vegetables, you will have a completely different, you know, outlook on your whole entire being, your skin, your hair, your nails, even your mind, because it's all connected spiritually. So that is something that I, you know, definitely, you know, I'm really excited that you brought this to the forefront, because we also think is beauty as something just, you know, on the outside, when it's really the inside, literally, you know, the inside out. So being unpretty, trying to match a persona that we see most popularly, or we think, you know, being thin and having a long weave represents, you know, being beautiful. And it's more than that, you know, it's about having clear teeth and having, you know, clean eyes and, you know, clear, you know, crystal clean eyes and hair and skin. And it's all, you know, based on diet as well as what we feed our minds. So it's very spiritually connected as well.
Well, I like that you mentioned, you know, what we look like, Liz, because I think that's what I want to talk to my listeners about. You know, this is called Race Talk, so I like to weave in some terminology that can really help people converse better interculturally. And so the term I'm going to introduce right now is the blacker the berry. Do you guys know how you finish that sentence? Go ahead. The blacker the berry,
the sweeter the juice.
Sweeter the juice. I only heard one person say it. That might be is that an American thing? Or, well, yeah. And I think when I heard it, I smiled, because as a child growing up, you know, especially of the 70s and the 80s, you didn't see a lot of Black people in the media. You know, you had a handful. And certainly when beauty is represented, and you were a model, Liz. So when you see beauty represented, how often did you feel like you can be on the top magazine covers, you know, back in the day? I think, in fact, Whitney Houston was on Teen Magazine, and I was a teenager then, and this was before she became Whitney Houston, the singer, right, that people knew. I mean, at least a year to 2 years before that. Wow. I was like, Mom, you got to buy me that issue. I was so happy. And when you mentioned body size, she was thin, right? But she had, I think, at least it showed natural hair, Balky. So I think they wanted her to look more the part too, because when she became a singer, you saw that she definitely flat ironed or put chemicals in her hair to make it look straighter. But that image of her looking the quintessential young African-American, I was just happy. And I just took from my own actions and thoughts that I really needed that. I really needed to see that. But she was thin, incredibly thin. And the idea of beauty, do you need to be thin? So I like the idea of the blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice, because a lot of people with darker skin tone, I think one of the terms we would call it was blue black, if you were very, very, very dark, meant that you weren't attractive. And I do see now in the media, darker skinned women are coming to the forefront. I think definitely on Vogue covers internationally, you have the African women from Africa, many of the nations in Africa, represented very dark, very natural hair, and that's supposed to be seen as beautiful. And of course it is. And actually, of course it was. It was always that way. It's like the Unpretty song. It was that we were so somehow told or taught that unless you look this way, a certain way, you weren't beautiful. Blonde hair, blue-eyed, even for white women who aren't blonde hair and blue-eyed, I think that was still the ideal, right? And I actually have a Shakespearean sonnet that I think we're going to end on. But before I do that, to show that it indeed is something that happens in all cultures, I would like to know what you guys think about the body image. Like I mentioned, is it just thin now? Is just thin in, or what are your thoughts about that? Balkis, when I was saying that, I saw that you were shaking your head up and down like, yeah, all body types, girl. What are your thoughts? And this is because you also come from, initially you came to America when you were 20, in your 20s, right?
Yes.
So what are the ideas, the cultural ideas or norms in where you grew up?
When I grew up, it was everybody that I know was thin. It wasn't a lot of big people when I grew up. I have to say that, you know. So we was skinny, but some skinny than other. And I remember because I have been skinny all my life. And right now, I remember being a 90 pound. And I was, people make jokes. Like I was bullied.
Is that because it's in an African American community, or not African American because you were in the Dominican Republic, but was that something not cool? I know that Liz mentioned the Brazilian waxes, but there's also those Brazilian booties, right? Did you have to have a certain look to be thought of as beautiful?
Because I was 90 pounds, they used to make fun of me because it was skinny and skinnier. You know what I mean? And I was skinnier.
Oh, God. So you were skinnier.
Yeah.
Okay. You were like the model Twiggy.
So I didn't like to be so skinny then because I was bullied.
Well, and you just turned me on. Nice segue into this other term. It's called microaggression. And I'm going to read the definition because I will probably totally muddle it if I try to wing it. The term microaggression is used very much now when we're talking about race and culture, because it's commonplace when you talk about a daily verbal, behavioral, or environmental slight, whether it's intentional or unintentional, when it communicates hostile, derogatory, or negative attitude towards stigmatized or culturally marginalized groups. So in some way, what you're talking about, the skinny person, that's definitely a marginalized group. Not everyone is so incredibly thin. But a microaggression is when you say something negative to them. And I think the blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice was designed to make that, you know, keep microaggressions away from people. Like the term pickaninny with hair, you know, saw a little kid, a little girl with natural hair running around somewhere and someone would call her a pickaninny. And that was supposed to be not a term of endearment, but a negative term. Based on how this little girl hair was natural, thick, maybe a certain wiry texture. And that was communicated in some way, not attractive, not nice for one. So there's lots of ways of, you know, making people feel bad about themselves that isn't overt. And that would be a term called the term microaggression when we would use that.
Yeah.
So, Liz, have you any thoughts about, since you were a model, about the physical entities, especially when it comes to talking about culture and identity?
Yes and no. I mean, you know, a lot of the times, of course, when and you're a model, it's all based on, you know, your body type. So really your height, how tall are you? And really the thing is they want you to be like a clothes hanger. You know how a clothes hanger hangs, so the clothes hang. So that's really what they wanted you to be. So being very, very thin and frail. And again, that was back in the 70s and 80s and 90s. And that's when I was, you know, modeling. But now it is all shapes and sizes because it's, you know, very much more realistic. You know, everyone is not a size 2, but most of the designer, high-end designers or off the rack would make these, you know, sizes for 2, 4, and 6. And that was kind of it, you know, anything over a size 6 or 8, you know, that's considered plus size, you know? So in terms of, you know, having that, hey, maybe I'm too thin or I, you know, one big breast or a big butt, you know, or an enhancement just so I can be more attractive, it is definitely something that has always been a, you know, one of those sayings, just like you said, you know, the darker the berry, the sweeter the juice. It's always been, you know, something in reference to body shape or body size, you know, like all Black women have, you know, butts and, you know, hips, you know, that's a fact. Well, but, you know, it really is, but it's true, you know. So same thing, you know, applies when you talk about body shape. And again, it's all about that inner beauty, you know, what are we really feeding ourselves, you know, mind, body, and spirit and soul.
And I do want to say that the media and the advertisers caught up with that, because you see Benetton, it's a clothing company, and it used all different persuasions and skin colors and skin type, skin colors. However, they were all still very thin. But now you see with Dove Beauty, and you know, Dove, you have people of all body shapes and sizes. And before they would have plus models, but they were still very thin plus models. I think maybe the largest plus model was a 9. So, you know, 2, 4, 6 was the norm, but a size 9 to a lot of people are still very tiny in a especially in America, like you were saying, Belky, in your country, a lot of people are still a little bit thinner, but in America, certainly, you know, I think it was the rise of fast food. I don't know really what happened, but there was a change in the media for sure. And I like the idea that now people can see themselves in people who are on television buying or selling products, selling clothes, selling, cleaning supplies, selling ways to be beautiful. I think that's a plus. I don't want to leave this show without each of you being able to share what specifically you would like to with my audience. However, I do want to have an opportunity to showcase this one poem. It's a sonnet by Shakespeare. And I bring up Shakespeare because that is something that almost every American, if you go through the system, the educational system in America, you're going to read Shakespeare. It's actually in some states, a whole 9th grade or 10th grade, a whole grade level, you have to read it. It doesn't take up just one book or one story. It takes up the entire year. So because we might have some young people on who are going to be looking at Shakespeare and the sonnets, I think there's something to be said to understanding what how did beauty actually derive itself? Why is it that when Shakespeare speaks, he speaks of color a lot when talking about the beauty of a woman? And in one poem, he uses the word dun, D-U-N, that says the skin color of a mistress is dark. And it's done. So not like Liz was saying, shiny and fresh in its essence. And so I liken it to when in Europe, if you were a worker, you were out in the sun And this is back in the day of Shakespearean lore. And so to be wealthy meant you didn't have to be outside. You can be inside. And so that meant your skin didn't get colored from the sun. And so you were able to stay white or stay as white as possible. And that was perceived as beautiful because it was accompanied by the idea that you were wealthy, your financial status. And I think we do that here now too. A lot of people now who are lighter in skin color, they would like to be darker in skin color because now it's like if you're able to go out and be in the sun, be in Florida or the Bahamas, on the beaches of the Dominican Republic, you know, vacation, then you have a sign of being wealthy, and then you can have a darkened skin color. And that's just so amazingly interesting. But I know that, as Liz says, your health is more important than what you look like. And to change your skin tones in that way with the sun or too much of it with false lighting can't be that healthy. So I just wanted to end with that so that we all know that beauty is clearly not about what you look like on the outside, but really how well you take care of yourself, your mind, and your thoughts. And these women are going to just share with you right now how you can get in touch with them should you want more of what they have to offer. Let's have Balkis go first, and I'm going to warn you, you have 2 minutes, Balkis.
Well, my name is Balkis. I am located on 223 and a half Warren Street in Hudson, and I can help you grow your hair healthy and feeling good about yourself and your hair. And I will welcome you, anybody that want to try, to see if I can help them with their hair. I think I can make them look good.
And more importantly, you make them feel good just by how you communicate with people when they're in your chair. So I love visiting, and I'm going to make an appointment soon. Okay, Liz, how do we reach you if we are interested in learning more about our skin and our the three ways we can be positive about ourselves and take good care of ourselves? Oh, I think her audio has gone off. So I will say that I am posting the information of Liz on the website that I have, KimberlyIrwin.me. And of course, all of my social media sites if you're interested. And I'm going to ask these two ladies to engage a little bit more in conversation on a link, so that there are people who have questions and who have messaged me those questions, we can answer them, because in about a minute, the show is going to be over. And right now I want to make sure I get to the reason how we are here. We are here because of Waveform, WGXC management, so that we can go on air and talk to you about these wonderful issues. It's really important in doing so that we give back. You know, we are able to only be here through the support of our listeners.